The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaqir Hislop and Stevie Nicol. Today in England was all about the Community Shield, Liverpool taking on Manchester City, and what a brilliant match this turned out to be. It would be Liverpool who'd open the scoring early, Trent Alexander with the effort that was deflected off Ake into the back of the net. Liverpool then in the ascendancy for a while until Manchester City got themselves together, and they would eventually get the equaliser through new signing Alvarez in the second half. However, Salah would convert a penalty that was won after Darwin Nunez's header was handballed by Ruben Dias. And then later on, Nunez with the goal to give Liverpool a 3-1 win. Off more on this. Outside of the King Power Stadium now, Don Hutchinson and Nader Manua are with us. Don, just overall, this was a brilliant match, wasn't it?
It really was, Dan. The tempo, the speed, I think the closing down from Liverpool was super impressive. You could see what Man City were trying to do. They're trying to play through the thirds. Pep wasn't happy. He was screaming at the back line to try and play balls forward a lot quicker. But it was one of them games, Dan. The Community Shield is a great game to play. And I mean, I've been on the end of a 4-3 loss when Eric Cantona scored three against Leeds, and it hurt because you want to try and take good form and positive form into the starting game in the Premier League in a week's time. So for Liverpool, it put down a real marker. And Nunez getting off the mark, he was right by us in the corner flag, and the fans took to him straight away. He had one or two chances, but great day for Liverpool fans.
Speaking of Liverpool fans, one of them, very close to me, has spent the week telling us it's just a glorified pre-season friendly, doesn't really matter. I tell you what, when Darwin Nunez scored, Shaka, how was his reaction?
It was very animated, as nicely as I can put it.
I know, very, very not Disney friendly.
But this didn't... At no stage did this feel like a Community Shield final. And as Don's telling you, he's played in one, I've played in one. And it felt like it. I remember.
Right.
It didn't feel like a proper game.
Okay.
It didn't feel like a normal game. And this did not feel like a Community Shield game. This felt like a proper game. This felt as though both sides felt there was something in this. And they had, not something to prove, but they didn't want to lose. And I think by the end of the game, we saw that Liverpool, more than City, wanted it.
Right.
Because they looked hungrier. Certainly going forward, as an attacking force, Liverpool were far superior than Manchester City were going forward. Although City had more of the ball, Liverpool just had a bit of an edge to them. As if they were saying, right, we want to lay down a marker.
And in particular, obviously, Darwin Nunez impressed you when he came on.
Well, he came on for half an hour, and in that half an hour, he completely changed the game for Liverpool. You know, up until Liverpool scored, Liverpool were by far the better side. And then it sort of kick-started City.
Yep.
And until they equalised, actually, they were the better side. And then it went back again to Liverpool. But a big part of that was Nunez. Not just the fact that he scored a goal, but he was a complete and utter threat for every single reason you want your centre-forward to be. He was running in behind. He was physically fighting with his defenders. I mean, every single thing he did with... There was a purpose to it. And of course, when he scored his goal, you see how passionate he was. And it actually just, it clung to everybody else, the Liverpool fans, his teammates. I mean, it almost felt like a final he'd scored in, not the Community Shield that we all, particularly me, poo-pooed during the week.
Nadim, do you agree about Nunez's impact?
Yeah, I do. And interestingly, it's so different to the way Firmino was, because Firmino's coming short, he's linking the play very well, whereas for Nunez, as we were listening to there, like, he's stretching the line, he's getting behind, he's pushing people about, and he had a real good goal threat, rather. Like, he scored that goal, he had the one-on-one, which, you know, Don would say that he should have done better with.
I think he should have
probably dinked it, but he made an instant impact, and when he's out there and he scored that goal, the passion in that corner, like, You know, I was trying to hide as a City guy in that Liverpool section, but they were going nuts. You know, you could see how much that meant to him. The fans were on board with it. And that's another side of the recruitment, isn't it? You know, you've got the stuff on the field. You know, yeah, you're a good player, but are you passionate?
Even the bench, Jordan Henderson ran straight past
everybody
us.
Everybody ran down. Like, you know, people are buying into him. And I think that's what you need, because that means there's going to be a level of excitement going into this season, because, you know, you've lost Mane, but you've brought somebody in who you believe you can get behind. So it's good to see him get an opportunity. But, you know, Don said it earlier on in the day. He still doesn't think he starts in that first game of the season, because he thinks that's going to be Firmino's spot.
That's something I'm sure we will discuss as the week goes on. Darwin Nunez won the penalty, Shaq, that we saw, obviously. He came on as the substitute, had the chance, won the penalty with the header. Not the most convincing of headers. For you, was it a penalty?
Yes, I think it was. And listen, as a defender, Ruben Diaz going up for the header, kind of got himself in a bad position, or maybe the ball was just that good that exposed him. And his arm ended up being extended. And though you're right, I don't think it was a great header, it was goal wad-ish. And with the extended arm, especially an arm raised as relatively highly as the ball catches him here, just up around chest or shoulder height, once the referee goes to the screens, I never doubted that he'd point to the spot. And then once he does, there's little doubt that Mo Salah buries it.
Do you agree, Don?
No, there's a lot of issues in Shaka's explanation there. Not on target-ish. I don't, Dan. I thought Liverpool were lucky. I thought if you put yourself in Ruben Diaz's situation, and it was a great ball from Mo Salah, and he did get himself, Shaka's right in a bad position, Nunes pulled off him. But then there's a centre-half when you're trying to recover and you're trying to get the flight of the ball, then you're trying to adjust your body position by running, which is natural, and then the ball got headed off your hand from, what was it, half a yard, away? Yeah. I don't think it gives any room for the defender to try and manipulate his hands out of the way. It didn't give him enough time. So that's why I thought it was very harsh.
Stevie?
Well, had he been half a yard away, I would have had a problem with it. But he's not half a yard away. He's a good couple of yards away. His hand is out. And the way the rules are written, whether the ball's on target or not, the way the rules are written, the way the game's refereed today, you're never winning an argument whether that's a penalty or not. And it took the referee, two looks?
Yeah.
Normally when they go to VAR, it's like you wait half an hour and they have about 20 looks. He saw it the first time and he probably thought, I'll just double check, and then off he went. So, yeah, it's a penalty all day long.
To that point, and point that Don was making in response to me, is it doesn't have to be intentional. It doesn't have to be directly on target. It just, for me, it has to have an impact on the game. And now there's a couple of ways of looking at this that I've heard referees describe. If you find yourself out of position and are trying to do something to make up for being out of position and you get penalized for it, that's on you.
Right.
If he was closer to Darwin Nunez, if he was touch tight and the ball just beats him and then it comes off his arm from half a yard away, you sympathize with Ruben Diaz. But if you're 2 yards away, you jump, the ball beats your head, you have no chance to get it, you jump and your arm is extended in jumping and being out of position, then you've got little recourse. And that's the thing for me here.
Nathan?
Yeah, I disagree with most of that, but that's fair enough. Because one thing is, like, we're talking about his arm being extended, and I think for me that's an arm being extended. Yeah. His arm's in this position here. And as well, when you go and look at the video replay, when the ref goes to see it, the key thing is the fact that it's in slow motion. So all of a sudden it looks worse than it is. But for Diaz, if he's reacted to a ball that's come like that from him, like, he's got better reactions than any goalkeeper we've ever seen before. I think he's unlucky from that, because I don't know what else he could have done. I think someone might say, oh, you know, pull your arm out of the way. But then if you jump up like this, that's an unnatural position. He's reacted. And the fact is the ball's been headed onto his arm, in my opinion, as opposed to his arm hitting the ball. So we can say, you know, intent doesn't matter. But in the laws of the game, intent does matter, because it says it's a deliberate thing where he's not tried to make himself bigger. He's not tried to stop the ball with his hand. And I guess in some ways he's lucky, because at this point now, like, what can you do as a defender in that position?
2-2 then. The deciding vote goes to former Premier League referee Peter Walton, who I spoke to, who said that, yes, it was a penalty. Meanwhile, for Manchester City, the big story going into this, Nathan, was, of course, Erling Haaland, his first start in a big game, a start, really, that he'll want to forget.
It wasn't great. It was not great, to be honest. But I think especially in that first half, he was making some good movements, making some good runs. But then I feel in the second half, it kind of fell off a little bit. I think himself and Kevin De Bruyne weren't really connecting as well in that second half. There was that chance as well, I think, with the way he tried to almost scissor kick it when maybe he should have done a diving header.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you know, I'd be very surprised if they were perfect at this stage. There were one or two promising signs, and I think for City, they need to understand that, you know, when he's in there, maybe put more balls into the box.
Yeah.
When there's a chance to play a ball in behind, even if it's a channel ball, kind of like Liverpool do, play it. And I think in time they will understand that, but he'll be disappointed, especially to finish with that miss that he had. But that's what happens when you switch off. He's gone through the motions of it,
essentially. In that first half, Nathan, there was a classic moment where De Bruyne got himself in the De Bruyne position, right-hand side, six-yard box, and you could close your eyes and you go, what ball is he going to play?
Yep.
And he flashes it hard and low.
Yep.
Haaland made the run to the near post.
And he tried to cut it back.
And he tried to cut it back. And it was like, it's the players, Dan, I think, need to get used to Haaland, not Haaland getting used to them, because there were so many times Jack Grealish had the ball and Haaland started to move off again in the first half where he was big, he was physical, he rolled the centre-backs, he got away from Jordan Henderson, he played it out to Jack Grealish on the left-hand side. We had a great vantage point. He sprinted in the 18-yard box. Jack Grealish got the ball to his feet. Instead of taking Trent on, he cut back, he went safe and he gave the ball away. And Haaland standing there saying, put it in the box. And we had Morris on the other side.
Yeah.
Same situation.
And I think as well with Haaland, it's really obvious what his strengths are.
Yeah.
He's strong. He's quick, he's good in the air, he's desperate for a goal. So when you're under pressure, you can play those balls down the channel. Yeah. He'll be able to hold somebody off. When you think, should we get across into the box? There's a guy in there, 6'2", desperate to score. And I think for City, it's making that adjustment, understanding that that is where they're going to bear a lot of fruit this season, should they decide to do it. But I think in some ways, they're probably still struggling a little bit from playing with a false nine, because they're thinking everything has to be short. But now they've got one of the best threats in behind in world football.
How easy is that adjustment to make, Stevie?
It's not easy, but it's made easier by not good players, but players with good football brains and some repetition.
Right.
And when you add all those things together, then you should see a change in the timing of the ball going in particular. You know, centre forwards hate nothing more than anybody wide who has the opportunity to play a ball in behind for them and cuts back, because then they have to come back out and start again.
Right.
And it's the timing of it and the understanding of who's on the ball. And once you get all those things, then things happen naturally. So, yes, they have the intelligent football players that will figure it out, but to do it, it will be repetition, not just in games, but they have to, you know, sort of simulate it in training as well, so that you can then carry it into the game.
Nathan, what will be Guardiola's biggest concern after what he saw today?
I think in some ways, it may be like there's a, I wouldn't necessarily say attitude, but towards the end of the game, you can see like for those Liverpool players, they were very much on the front foot. I think for some of the City players, maybe they put their heads down just a little bit. I think some of that maybe comes with the fact that they're maybe a week behind Liverpool in terms of their pre-season prep. But still, it's a big game. It's against a rival. You know, it does matter. But then also, I think it was some of the giveaways and some of the decision-making. Like Don was seeing from the sideline, it seemed really obvious from where we were. You know, we've got the best vantage point in the house. Like, they want to have switches of play to the fullbacks who were higher. They wanted to try and, you know, try and get people in behind. And Pep was trying to say, do this, do this, do this. But they weren't doing it. So I guess for him, it's just a case of trying to figure out why they weren't doing that. Is it because they didn't see it or they didn't believe in it?
We watched Pep's body language,
exactly,
didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
And he was screaming, Dan. He was screaming for Ruben Diaz to try and hit diagonal balls from his side over to Jack Grealish because it was on, because Liverpool's sort of two fullbacks went either high up the pitch or quite narrow. And that's the worry, why the players in midfield or the backline players couldn't spot the pass. And then second half, someone pinged one across, I think it might have been Rodri, and he'd done a sort of sarcastic applause as if to say, and we'd read his lips one time, he turned around to his bench and he went, it's so easy, why can't they see it? So that's something that he'll be concerned about. Why didn't they see that pass?
Does today make any difference going forward, Don?
I don't think it's something you can measure, Dan. I'd probably say no. I think what it does is when we're putting our predictions in and we toss a coin between Liverpool and City, it might just make everyone sit up and notice and think Liverpool are a lot closer. I mean, obviously the numbers over the years don't lie. Liverpool were a point behind last season, so it might be one of them where you're tossing the coin and you're flipping it and it lands on Man City and you go, actually, let's do it again. And you're hoping it might land on Liverpool because with Haaland coming in, with Nunes coming in, and Diaz's first full season. You're like, you can't split them. You can flip the coin a million times and you're not sure which way it's going to go. But for Liverpool fans coming away winning 3-1, they might be thinking, we can win the league. We can. We can do it.
Nalem, how many times are you flipping the coin?
I don't know, as many times as Don wants me to. We'll just flip it until we win. How about that?
There you go. How hungry are you, Don?
Starving.
Anything you want to ask Stephen to Don? Elongate this until you meet.
Yeah, what are you going to have to eat?
They're trying to keep us here. You know we've been here for days and we're so hungry. Alexis is gone. She smelt the food. Yeah, she smelt the food. She's gone. She's left us hanging.
Oh dear. Thank you for your dedication and your professionalism and your work attitude today, gentlemen. It's much appreciated. Thank you to Don and Nadim. We'll be hearing from them, of course, throughout the week to get their predictions ahead of start of the Premier League season that kicks off this weekend. And just a reminder, as always, you can check out Extra Time over on our YouTube channel as the boys stay late to answer your questions.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Oh, how are Bayern going to get goals without Robert Lewandowski, eh? Well, I tell you what, no problem as they beat Leipzig by 5-3 in the German Super Cup. The damage really done in the first half. 19-year-old Musiala opened the scoring. Sadio Mane then getting his first goal for Bayern. Pavard getting in on the action as well. Hasenberg would get one back for Leipzig, but then Gnabry would restore that 3-goal advantage. Got exciting at the end, though, and Nkunku with a penalty. Omo then would make it 4-3, but then Sané getting a fifth. Bayern Munich picking up their first bit of trophy wear for the season as you welcome in. Arne Friedrich joins us, as does Archer in Tut. Arne, what a game.
Quite interesting, right? A lot of goals. I really like to watch again tonight, definitely. And it was so important and interesting to see how they do without Lewandowski. And I think they did quite well.
Yeah, this was it, because you can't remember, the critics were lining up ready, weren't they, Archie, if this didn't quite go to plan. But it did, and then you could argue then some.
Yeah, we saw a more flexible Bayern. We saw a team that looked reminiscent in their movement of when Pep Guardiola was there. And the star of the show came off after an hour, and quite a lot happened after that. But Jamal Musiala there on the left-hand side, how much he actually stayed there, given how much he was moving and darting about and being such a handful and wriggling free of all of RB's attempts to try and get hold of him. It's a big season for him. He's been a very impressive talent in the past few years, but I think now is the time to see, is he going to go and nail a spot for himself in that first 11, being a solid starter? And with performances like this, he's always tended to shine against RB Leipzig. One of his first big moments was a goal coming off the bench for Bayern in a game against Leipzig when the game was going against them completely. And tonight, I thought he was the most impressive of quite a few attacking players that Bayern had out there.
All eyes were really, though, on one attacking player, Arne. Of course, Sadio Mane making his debut for Bayern in a big game like this. How would you rate his performance?
Yeah, I was really looking at him tonight because I know Bayern Munich with Lewandowski up front. But to me, it is kind of a myth, to be honest. He doesn't really touch the ball too many times. He's always trying to stand right at the edge of the offside line. And he's not really into the game all the time. But he, if he gets the ball, he's really, really strong to protect the ball. And he knows what he's doing. You know, he can score goals. He has a very, very good attitude. You can see that in his smile when you look at his face, and he protects the ball really, really well. Bayern Munich, I thought first that it's going to be a problem because they don't really have a player up front like a target striker who can take headers. But what Bayern Munich did really, really well is always break through on the wings and pass it across. And so I was really impressed by the performance. And also, five different players scored a goal tonight. And this is also really, really important for Bayern Munich after Lewandowski leaving.
How would you rate Mane today, Archie?
The best compliment I think you can pay him is that you didn't notice that he was a new player. He just swam with all the Bayern fishes going forward, and that was a lot. You saw the movement when Müller came deep. Mane would try and make a run to get in behind, for example. When Musiala came inside as well, more of the positions switched. So I think that it's an impressive start for him to start with the goal. I think that you could have probably scored the goal that he did score, Dan.
Oh.
But nevertheless, you've got to be there to score them. And I think that it's a good start for Mane, especially to get a goal in a game against a team that will see themselves as a rival for Bayern this season, even if they can't lay a glove on them for the last few years when it comes to direct games.
Where are Leipzig, Arne, at the moment?
To me, it was two different half-times, to be honest. The first half-time, I didn't see them at all. They started off with a 3-4-3. To me, they paid way too much respect to Bayern Munich. They were very passive, and they just like let Bayern Munich play. Bayern Munich, I was really impressed by the ball position, also by the aggressive style of play. But Leipzig, it was definitely way too less. And second half, Dominik Tedesco, the coach, he made a good move. He changed the system to 4-4-2 with a diamond more. Two players up front, and you saw there was definitely more danger coming out of the team. But if you see the game tonight, you have to play very compact, you have to counter-attack, and you have to have a perfect game in order to win against Bayern Munich. First half, it was definitely not enough.
Is there a place for a certain, I don't know, Archie, Timo Werner to return to Leipzig?
I think for somebody who played so well in his time at RB Leipzig, and who Julian Nagelsmann coaxed even the very best out of during his time there, they see him as a legend of the franchise because they've not been around that long, but he's certainly been one of the best players there. So they'd find a way to fit him in going forward. The signing, or the imminent signing as well, of David Raum, who is Germany's first choice left back right now, is a very significant one as well, with him replacing, I'd say, Angelino, who is likely to leave the club now this summer. I think Angelino has not been at his highest level for a while now, and I think that it's a real improvement for Leipzig to get somebody like David Raum, who Borussia Dortmund were very interested in getting but weren't stumping up the cash for. So, yeah, I think the signing of Raum would probably be even more significant than that of Werner. With Werner, the most important thing for him, I think, is getting game time and scoring goals before the start of the World Cup.
Arne, is it as simple as saying if Werner gets back to Leipzig, he's back to scoring goals?
I guess, to be honest. So before the game, I don't know if you saw that, they interviewed our German national team coach, Hansi Flick. And they asked him also the question, so what do you think about Werner? Should he move? And he said, oh, obviously, it's the player's decision. But you can see in Chelsea, he didn't score that many goals than he did in the Bundesliga. I think, as I know Timo Werner, he is a player. He needs stability. He needs encouragement. He needs to feel home. I don't know if he feels home in London, but you see one thing on the Leipzig team. And therefore, I would really like to see him move to Leipzig because Leipzig needs speed up front. They have Nkunku. It's a very, very important sign to keep him. But besides him up front, they lack a little bit of speed. They have very, very good players. They can really play the ball very well. Also with Angelino and Raum, I think it would be a fantastic move because it brings in more speed. And you see, you can beat those big teams like Bayern Munich with speed and counterattacks.
Meanwhile, of course, this then the start of a new chapter for Bayern Munich without Robert Lewandowski. He pulled no punches yesterday, did he, when he was speaking to ESPN about the genesis of that move away from Bayern?
Everything what's happened in the last maybe few weeks before I left the Bayern Munich, that was also, of course, a lot of politics, and the club try to find the argument why they can sell me to the another club, because before it was difficult to explain maybe the fans, and I had to accept this, even that was a lot of things about me not true, but you know, in the end I know that the fans, because during this period the fans still support me a lot.
Sorry for the language, Archie, there. How have these quotes been received in Germany?
Yeah, I'm so personally, I'm not a big...
Sorry. Go on, Arne.
Sorry, Archie, I didn't know that. To me, I'm not a big fan of that. I think he was such a fantastic player for Bayern Munich, no doubt about that. He gave Bayern Munich a lot, but on the other hand, Bayern Munich gave Lewandowski as well a lot. And to me... We live in a time where contracts don't really matter anymore. This is what I really, really pity a little bit. So if you have a contract, okay, and you want to leave the club, let the club know. If the club doesn't want you to leave, then please, you know, keep your mouth shut, do your best. And this is not what I like to see, but it's normal, unfortunately, in this time. And therefore, I think he should have not said things like that, because Bayern Munich is a big team, a big club who gave him a lot too.
Yeah, but Arne is in a situation where he's the best player at the club. He's banging in 40-plus goals a season, yet he's running down his contract. No one from Bayern has even started to talk to his people about a new contract. You can understand, surely, that frustration.
But is it like that? So there's always two parties telling different stories, obviously. So I have some people at Bayern Munich who told me different stories. So I was not there. But in general, so, I mean, even if it was like that, then why would you say anything? Just keep it for yourself. You're at Barcelona now, and you can go from there in peace.
Archie?
Oh, no. I think that he does deserve a bit more respect for what he achieved at the club. And I can understand why he is volleying out at them, because the stories that have been told in the German media from Bayern's point of view have made him look like a diva, when for the most part of his time at the club, he got on with his job. He made sure that they won the Bundesliga title God knows how many times in a row. And it's not like there have been other players at this club who have not tried to flirt with a move away when things haven't been going well. And Robert Lewandowski is a coach who always did what... is a player even that always did what the coach wanted. Even when it was Niko Kovac, somebody who wasn't popular with the hierarchy within the squad. So I think he's wondering, well, hang on, I always got my job done, and I knuckled down even when times were tough. And now I come out and say, actually, guys, I'd like a new challenge. I'd like to go because I don't feel I'm getting the recognition that I deserve. And yeah, I think he's been treated actually quite poorly by Bayern.
I respect your opinion, Archie.
Don't respect his opinion, Arne. It's fine. But. No one does.
I do. But Archie, he gets paid a lot too. So to me, this is not just like all against Lewandowski. It's like a society thing. I think if you have a contract, you have a contract. Obviously, there's always three parties agreeing if you leave or if you stay. It's the club who wants to buy you, the club who wants to sell you, or who's going to sell you, and the player. There are so many more people involved, obviously agents and whatever. To me, it's just like how he did it. So he's in Barcelona now. He can play. He can have his peace. To me, it's just like I'm not a big fan of talking after that in the media. And even before, there's always two sides, two different stories. And, you know, Archie, you and I, we weren't there, but nobody really knows the truth, right?
Thank you very much, guys. Just a reminder, every single Bundesliga game will be live on ESPN Plus this season. All starts on Friday, Blumenegg. Eintracht Frankfurt against Bayern Munich. Be sure to join us at 2:30 Eastern. Well, meanwhile, the German Cup, the first round of the Cup's taking place this weekend. Big surprise. Elversberg taking on Bayer Leverkusen. Just 2 minutes into this one, Rochelle with a goal to make it 1-0.
Well, everybody just keeps backing off. Gives them a little bit of space. Gets a little fortune with a nutmeg, but it's in the back of the net.
But then here we go. Losing scores. Oh,
Xhaka, what's going on with the goalie?
It's a wickedly swerving and dipping strike here.
So one wide, you thought, OK, Bayer Leverkusen will kick on. But however, they concede a penalty here.
Oh goodness me.
Coffee steps up to make it 2-1. Then 14 minutes later, once again, Bayer Leverkusen get themselves back into it for 2-2.
Aranguiz, who gave away the penalty, making amends.
Only stays level, though, for 7 minutes, because Schnellbacher then with the goal to make it 3-2. Into the second half we go. Well,
any chance you can keep up here?
Konrad makes it 4-2.
Keep going, Dad. Go on, Dad.
And then Patrick Schick gets one back, but it's too little, too late for Bayer Leverkusen as they are out. Archie, how embarrassing is this for Bayer Leverkusen?
It's very embarrassing alone for one of the teams which has the biggest budgets in German football to be losing to a third division team. What makes this even more embarrassing is that we've heard from Leverkusen sporting director Simon Rolfes before the season's begun about Bayer Leverkusen going for the title. If you're going to go for the title, you probably want to be dealing with Elversberg first. And there's been a lot of hype around this team about this being the best ever Bayer Leverkusen squad ever. If they can't get themselves together by the time they go and face Dortmund next week, they're in trouble. But this is, I'd say, very Bayer Leverkusen in terms of not turning up for this. They'll probably turn up with a full head of steam at Signal Iduna Park next week. That said, this is a cringeworthy result for Leverkusen. I rang a Leverkusen fan earlier and he didn't go to the phone all too quickly, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I bet he didn't, Archie. Arne, how cringeworthy is this result?
Archie, I couldn't have said it better, to be honest. So I have to agree what you just said, you know, even though if I disagreed with Lewandowski. But I know how it is to play the first round in the Cup. It is really horrible sometimes for Bundesliga teams. I played with Hertha Berlin probably 10 years. We lost 6 or 7 in the first or second round. So it's definitely embarrassing. But Bayer Leverkusen has different expectations. And even if Rolf has mentioned those words or said those words, you should better perform after that. Elversberg is a tough team to play. It's always very hard in small stadiums with a lot of crowd, but still, you have to win the game.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. As I mentioned, not long now until the start of the Bundesliga. Plenty of content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and subscribe.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a game it looks set to be tomorrow then, the Euro 2022 final between England and Germany. It will be live on ESPN and ESPN+. Your commentators will be Julie Foudy and Ian Dark.
Well, a great sense of expectation here, the famous Wembley Stadium. There's going to be nearly 90,000 fans here for this Women's European Championship final. It's really taken off as a big event, hasn't it?
Oh, it's enormous. It actually reminds me a lot of 1999 with the enthusiasm and the transformation and this discussion of you're finally at this tipping point with women's football, which we felt for a very long time, many years, many decades. But here in Europe, you're seeing it where they're like, okay, how are we going to sustain that? How are we going to continue to grow this? Because as we know, the football's been tremendous on the field, and the viewership's been great. The stadiums have been filled, so it's been fantastic.
Yeah. Do you ever play here at Wembley? I mean, look at it, lovely surface.
I know. I have never played here.
Yeah, but the USA won the Olympic gold here. Carly Lloyd's two goals against Japan. What was that? 2012. Too long ago, really. Let's talk about the team news for this game. England, first of all, unchanged every game so far. Obviously, Alicia Russo, now iconic for the famous back heel. Everybody's saying, well, should she be in the starting lineup? But I don't think they'll change it, will they?
I don't think they'll change it. I agree with you, Ian. I think that Serena Wiegman would be crazy to disrupt what's been a really good starting 11. So to have all of them available, no COVID issues so far with this team, other than obviously Hampton, a goalkeeper. But they've been healthy. They've been playing well. Why disrupt that? I think and Russo's been so good coming off the bench. Ellen White does a ton of running. She tires out that center back pairing, and then Russo can come in and clean up.
And the news on Germany is that Clara Buhl, how unlucky is this, still positive for COVID, so she will not be playing. But, of course, they've got this winger, Brandt, the youngster, who looks a mighty exciting prospect. I mean, it is the classic matchup, isn't it? I think it's the final. The fans are, well, electrified to see, really, England and Germany. I can't pick a winner, can you?
The history of these two teams. I'm actually going to take England. I think it's coming home, Ian. At home with energy.
Why are you saying that?
I think they've got too much offensively. I think they're too complete a team. I think Germany is an excellent group, as we've seen, an excellent team. But I think with the depth of England, which she's bringing off the bench, Wiegman is bringing in Toon and Russo and all these incredible players that they could go to, Greenwood if they wanted to in the back, I think it's got to be England.
Yeah. Tactically smart, but here's that stat. Germany have won the final eight times. They've never lost a final, and they've been here to Wembley a couple of times in recent years and won friendlies. Pop, their big goal scorer, has scored in both of them. Do they have a bit of a psychological hold here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think if they've played in eight finals so far, have never lost a Euros final. So I absolutely think they have that mental edge, but records are meant to be broken. And I think right now you've got a buzzing England team that is confident and feeling it as a host country.
I think it's going to be a very, very exciting occasion. It almost feels like a bit of a state occasion. Everybody's hooked on it this side of the Atlantic, and I hope on the other side of the Atlantic you'll be watching our coverage, which begins 11:30 in the morning Eastern time. So do be with us for the final. The kickoff is half an hour after that.
Yeah, just to re-emphasize then, England against Germany live tomorrow, 11:30 Eastern on ESPN. And of course, we'll be reflecting on that game on the next edition of the show. So be sure to join us.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's the date? We've been here a long time today.
I'm tired, Dan.
Are you, Shaq?
And I don't even have any lottery winnings to go home to.
No, you certainly don't, but fear not. You've still got one more thing to do.
It's a fairly
extra
big
time. Nathan is bad. We talk about Shaka's lottery disappointment on Extra Time, which is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie's here, and I'm afraid to say Shaka didn't win the $1.28 billion lottery jackpot. So he's here with us.
Sadly.
Oh, dear. You haven't even dressed yourself properly, Shaka. You've got buttons undone galore today.
Just,
to be fair, it's not easy when you're expecting to get 1 billion.
I'd hire somebody
to do my buttons by now.
Arne Friedrich is with us as well, the former German international, to answer some of your questions. The first one is for you, Arne. Haven't the German football fans and media gotten fed up with Bayern Munich winning the Bundesliga so frequently? And what needs to change for the other German clubs to seriously challenge Bayern's dominance?
Very good question. I would say, you know, Borussia Dortmund and Leipzig, I think they did their homework this season. They tried to get the team better. To me, it's still a long road to go because Bayern Munich does a fantastic job, and not just like this season, but also, you know, the last 10, 15, 20 years. There were also some discussions here in Germany about a different system, playoff system, for instance. So obviously there's pros and cons. It would make it definitely more interesting, but I think we keep on doing this how we do it right now. So therefore, you need a perfect season, you need a little bit of luck, and you need obviously the right player at the right time. Tonight you saw it, Leipzig against Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich was up, like almost won the game, and then all of a sudden Leipzig caught up. So therefore, there's always 90 minutes to play, but still, to me, Bayern Munich is still the number one, and hopefully it's going to be more interesting this season.
Stevie, since the Community Shield is just a glorified friendly, how's your spirit?
Fantastic.
Shaka, what words can we use? So, for example, we were sat quietly watching the game. Mm-hmm. Darwin Nunez comes on and does well. And Stevie starts shouting at me in my face. Yes.
in a more surprising turn of events.
I know.
Let's just describe it as that.
But he starts going, he's a threat. You can say what you like about him. He's a threat.
That is sitting there eating his crimson, whatever it is. He goes, I don't care what you say. He's a threat. Like, what? It was so funny.
I was surprised you were.
I just got excited.
You did. So I know. Glad. We saw.
I was so glad that.
Yeah,
I was going to sound like my granny there. Well, I was so glad that he did well.
What's interesting is because was it the Thursday show? You spent the whole show and nobody cares. The result doesn't matter to anybody. It has no relevance.
Well, because obviously it's 99 times out of 100 Community Shields. That is true.
Right.
Nobody
but the ones
cares.
That Liverpool win are different.
Listen, not at all. Listen, I've won the Community Shield, and you can go and ask anybody who's won it,
yep,
and anybody who's played in it, and they'll all tell you it's a glorified friendly, and it doesn't really matter that much.
Okay.
Today's game had a little different edge to it.
Right. Is it because it's these two sides, do you think?
It just sucked you in. The game
I think it is. It's the two sides,
yeah,
that have been put together by two. To call them competitive would be the understatement of the year.
Right.
But Pep and Klopp are two guys who don't do friendlies.
Right.
So I think probably because of them more than anything, that's why this game was enjoyable and exciting.
The thing is, there's an unwritten rule here that when Liverpool is playing, stay as far away from Stevie as you
can. But for this, I thought we were safe.
Right, so we come into this one, we thought the one day we can watch Liverpool play with Stevie,
yeah,
because it's not going to happen for another 12 months,
yeah,
is today. And then all of a sudden, he's like, I don't care what you say.
did you watch the game? It was fun.
Just some snippets. I saw.
That's a lie. I didn't see any of it. It's all right.
I'm, I'm being serious. I just like watched the missed chance by Haaland and also some other snippets.
Yeah.
Saw some snippets on this show.
Yeah. Given the contrasting debuts of Nunez and Haaland, are there any standout debut performances, be it good or bad, which comes to mind from playing days, be it yourselves making your debut or a new teammate? Shaq, as a goalkeeper, it must be tough making your debut because you're so exposed.
Yeah, I don't think I had any, I can think of any really bad debuts. I certainly made my bigger moves at Newcastle and West Ham. I came in after preseason had started, so the team was already playing well, and right. I just kind of had to come in and slot in. So nothing springs to mind.
Your debut, Stevie? Is it just about not making a mistake?
Yeah. Mine was, but we had a guy who signed for Liverpool in the early 80s, a guy called David Hodgson from Middlesbrough, who on his debut scored a hat-trick. And it was like, wow, what a signing this is. Within 2 years, he was gone.
Oh, no, he peaked early, very early.
He just peaked a little bit too early, and it didn't quite work out. Yeah. So, hey, at the end of the day, it's one game.
Arne, did you play with anyone, good or bad debuts?
Oh, my gosh. My debut was in Dortmund, 80,000 people in the stands, and I was more like shocked. I couldn't even think about anything. You come into the stadium, you know, there's the whole crowd yelling at you, which I really like, but, you know, I was so focused. And I was a little shocked, too, that I didn't think too much.
Going on to Haaland, Arne, do you think that he has to adapt to City or City have to adapt to him more?
I think both a little bit. Guardiola gave an interview after the game today and he was really happy with his performance. Obviously, he's going to score. He's a scoring machine. He's going to adapt. He has a huge body. To me, it's more a question of if he's going to stay healthy or not. So he struggled a little bit in Dortmund too. Obviously, Borussia Dortmund in general had problems with injured players. Mm. But Haaland, he needs his body and in order to perform. And this is my only question. Besides that, he's going to play a good season.
Do you think Pep really thought he had a good game?
So Pep said what he had to say.
Well, exactly, yeah. Did they ever have a rivalry with certain players of their era, or did their teammates have something of that sort? You must have had some rivalries, Stevie, back down in the days. So you had no time for rivalries?
No, not really.
Yeah.
No. I never.
Arne, was there an attacker that you kind of had a running rivalry with?
Actually, not really. To be honest, I have to be honest. No.
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 No rivalries. Nothing.
But no, you see each other twice a year.
I don't know. Who among Nunez, Haaland, Kane and Jesus will score the most goals this season, Shaka?
Was the list Kane?
Nunez, Haaland, Kane.
Haaland. I pick Haaland to be my leading scorer in the league this year.
Right. Haaland?
Yeah.
Stevie?
Haaland.
Arne?
Then I'm going to say Nunez.
Hey!
Somebody has to say something different, right?
Yeah, exactly. It makes it
I like that attitude. He never comes back to haunt you on the show. We'll never bring it up again. Ever.
Arne, if Bayern don't get past the quarterfinals of the Champions League, would it be a disappointing season for them, assuming they win the domestic double?
I guess it would be.
Yeah.
So Bayern Munich has high expectations. The last couple of years weren't really that great. Obviously, there was a huge change in the organization, also on the coach's position, but not winning the cup and cutting off at quarterfinal or in quarterfinal in Champions League is not their expectation. I don't know which player it was before the game today. He said, we want to win all three titles, and this is definitely what they want to go for.
Arne, is Chelsea stronger than last season? How many more seasons does Tuchel have for credit for winning the Champions League? Arne, what do you reckon?
I think Chelsea, it's very hard to predict. To me, it's Manchester City and Liverpool as last season. I think Tuchel is a great coach. He's gonna adapt, and they definitely want to do better. But to me, it's all about Manchester City and Liverpool.
How much money in the bank does he still have from that Champions League win, Jack?
A bit. I don't see Chelsea or anybody else for that matter threatening the top two. Mm-hmm. So if you can again make third and comfortably, right now I don't think they do that. But I think Tuchel will get some credit for that. And deep runs in the cup. Without those, that credit disappears really quickly.
That's it. That brings us to the end of Extra Time. Thank you very much to everyone who has joined us. Not long now, of course, until those seasons kick off in Europe. We'll be bringing you everything you need to know throughout the week. Be sure to stay with us.